Tell me you love me on three. One, two, three.
Tell me you love me.
Demi is walking to the stage, up the stage center.
Was the best show you have ever done. And you know what? It's just only going to get better from here.
Yeah.
Try to be quiet, everybody. All right.
I've had so much to say over the past 2 years of, like, wanting to set the record straight about what it was that happened. FYI, I'm just gonna say it all, and then if we, like, don't want to use any of it, we can take it out.
So you just want to know everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
You don't want the true story from me.
I can't believe y'all are doing this. This is lit, but okay.
It's tough because we shot an entire documentary that will never see the light of day. It was before she OD'd.
This tour has been fun every show.
Like, the best way to describe it is that she's just, like, tuned in. She's here, she's present, she's happy.
In that documentary, I was allowing the cameras to see the tip of the iceberg.
Can we turn the cameras off?
I've been working on trying to be free for 13 years.
The US tour was absolutely a dream come true, obviously, professionally, but emotionally was miserable.
You know, I wasn't showing them what I was doing behind closed doors.
That felt very disingenuous at the time to talk about prior to actually being on the other side of something. This is the first time where we're really telling the truth, you know, for her.
Any time that you suppress a part of yourself, it's gonna, like, overflow at some point. And that's ultimately, like, what happened to me in a lot of areas of my life. And it was what led to my overdose, for sure.
There's a lot that the public don't know.
It was weird. It felt like it wasn't happening. It felt like it wasn't real.
It was certainly, it was touch and go there for a little bit.
She should be dead, like 100%.
Demi Lovato.
Por Americana, Demi Lovato.
Superstar Demi Lovato.
TMZ reports that the singer was rushed to the hospital.
Law enforcement is stating that she overdosed.
The 25-year-old singer was transported from
her Hollywood Hills home this morning.
Paramedics reportedly found her unconscious.
Suffering what appeared to be a heroin overdose.
Clearly, she knew she was using drugs, but don't know if she knew exactly what she was taking.
After leaving her friend's birthday celebration, Demi texted her drug dealer, who she's been using since April, to bring her oxycodone.
It is being reported that the oxycodone was also laced with fentanyl.
The more the details come out about what went down, the more it becomes really obvious that she's really lucky to be alive.
Oh, yeah.
I crossed a line that I had never crossed in the world of addiction. It's interesting that it took me a quarantine to work on this trauma stuff. I have never really taken the time to dig deep and do the work on.
I know you never got the chance to be yourself, to be
a second chance.
Ooh, when I turned around and saw my dad in those pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Something about, like, I saw him in rehearsal, it just wasn't the same.
Yeah.
We had an estranged relationship, so we weren't close, and growing up my whole life, I longed for that relationship with him, and then I resented him because he was an addict and an alcoholic and was abusive to my mom. And so I cut him out because I felt like, you know, it was causing more harm than good to have him in my life. His death was very complicated because we don't actually know the exact day that he died. All we know is that by the time he was found, his body was too decomposed to have an open casket. He had been laying there, I think, for about a week and a half before anybody found him. And during that was Father's Day. So every summer now that rolls around, I spend it kind of thinking, was today the day that my dad died? Is it tomorrow? And then also knowing that by the time Father's Day rolls around, like, he was just laying there rotting. And that was the fear that I always had for him, was that he would end up alone. And he did, he died alone.
Mental health is something that we all need to talk about, and we need to take the stigma away from it. 6 years ago, I was drinking vodka out of a Sprite bottle at 9 a.m, throwing up in the car. And I just remember thinking, this is no longer cute. This is no longer fun. And I'm just like my dad.
I definitely think that she had some things that were underlying, that she was trying to self-medicate, just like I was trying to do when I was taking Xanax. I was trying to self-medicate. You know, she was around for some of the abuse from my first husband. And sometimes I feel like that stayed with her for many years when I didn't know that she probably needed to work with a professional to work through some of that. Just like I didn't know they were causing issues in myself.
And that's why it hurts me so bad when I hear stories of people saying, you know, my family member chose addiction over me. My family member chose alcohol over me, chose this over me. I know too much about addiction and mental illness to think that that's all there is to it.
I also felt a lot of guilt over the years because I've been such an advocate for mental health.
Sometimes I have bad body image days. I look in the mirror and I don't like what I see.
Yet here was my father who had bipolar and schizophrenia, and then on top of that, the disease of addiction, you know, and I hadn't helped him the way that I would have helped other people or the way that I had been preaching about. And that really ate up at me. But ultimately, like, I know that he was kind of too far gone at that point. He needed to realize that he needed help himself.
Sobriety has to be your choice and no one else's. If it is someone else's choice for you, then it won't last. And so I tried to get him to get help, and I wasn't able to make that happen. He wasn't ready.
If you look at my family history, my mom has dealt with substances and an eating disorder, so I didn't know any different. Then I was put in beauty pageants where it's extremely competitive and it's all about your looks and your talent. My self-esteem was just completely damaged from those beauty pageants. I remember actually making a pact with myself saying, if I don't win this pageant, I will never eat again. Then you put me in front of a camera and on stage, and it's just like, of course I'm going to be super competitive and try to be the best at everything that I do.
There's so many people that depend on you and that you know that you're supporting these people's families and their next break.
I've realized that I've spent more time trying to please other people the past several years of my life than I have really trying to make it what I want.
It wasn't until the last few years that I really fully realized the impact that eating disorders have had on her. We had to be very careful what we ate around her, which sounds insane, but maybe some of the control that she had with her last team was put in place to help her so she wouldn't relapse in her eating disorder, but it totally backfired. Like that just, the control and the restriction was way too toxic for her, and she was miserable.
My team has consisted of assistants, a wellness coach, a dietitian, nutritionist, therapist. I've had all these people in and out of my life. I feel like decisions have been made for me more so than I've made decisions for myself.
I do feel like she had been in such a pressure cooker of control and trying to keep her well, and it had just eaten away at her.
There were times where I had to spend the night because she like ate a cookie. I felt like I was always walking on eggshells, no matter what. What I was eating, around who, what we had in our dressing room, what kind of food.
It was very intense. Everyone around her had to be drug tested. You know, she wasn't allowed to hang out with anybody that wasn't sober completely.
There were times where I was just like, she's miserable.
And I'm just not feeling comfortable in my body right now because I stopped being so strict with food so that I could get more peace with it rather than like living my life in a diet. I put on like a little weight. So like, I don't want to go on stage every night in clothes that are like showy. A part of the problem is too, is like the sketches that they draw. Everything looks good on a sketch because it's a 10-foot, 90-pound model with a 5-inch waist. There's just so much pressure as a female in the industry to look a certain way and to like dress a certain way. And that shit is the stuff that I used to look up to. That shit's really triggering.
I started relapsing in my eating disorder. I was already relapsing in it with over-exercising and extreme dieting. And I also had people around me that were really policing my food intake and the things that I was eating. So I was miserable and I like snapped.
I think if your life is set up to be focused on how you're not well, then you're not gonna feel well. Whatever we're trying to control or afraid of will end up happening if that's our only focus.
The choice that she made was, I think it was for agency for herself, but also I think it was a major act of rebellion where it's like, you're gonna tell me what I can and can't do for 6+ years? Watch me.
It was hammered into her head. You have to be sober. You have to be this icon, this role model that my sister never claimed to want to be in the first place.
I look at my fans as like family, but because I had been so open and honest about the things that I dealt with, I felt like I had to be this perfect role model.
I love what she does for young girls, and her music just, it saved my life.
It's such a beautiful gift to be able to help people. At the same time, you become a martyr in a way that is so isolating, and I think it just gets to you.
I don't think she really understands, you know, how much of an impact she has on her fans.
I think that to be the poster child of perfection and mental health and all these kind of things is such a dangerous slippery slope.
6 years is a long time to be told that if you slip up, you're gonna die. And at some point, enough just becomes enough.
The legendary, iconic Demi. This is a special day. 6 years sober. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. And God bless you. Don't ever stop.
I had a photo shoot, and I remember being at the photo shoot and just thinking to myself, like, I don't even know why I'm sober anymore. Like, I am so miserable. I'm not happy. I have all this stuff that I'm dealing with. I picked up a bottle of red wine that night, and it wasn't even 30 minutes before I called someone that I knew had drugs on them. I'm surprised I didn't OD that night. I ended up at a party. I just so happened to run into my old drug dealer from 6 years before. And like the odds of that happening was crazy. And he like had a duffel bag. And I just went to town. I went on a shopping spree. That night I did drugs that I'd never done before. I'd never done meth before. I tried meth. I mixed it with Molly, with coke, weed, alcohol, Oxycontin, and like that alone should have killed me.
So when she had texted in 2018 and was talking about deciding to drink again, it was like, sound off the alarms. I remember driving back to her house, running to her side, and I was like expecting to walk in on her like, you know, face down, ass up, passed out on the floor, like she had had a drink the night before, so now the world was over. And she was kind of sitting in bed, very aware of what the decision that she'd made. And then she was drinking and fine, and, you know, until it wasn't fine.
She didn't really open up about what she did that night. We didn't really have necessarily the conversation of honesty that I wanted to start out with. I think in terms of her friends and family, the thing was is that we didn't really know about the drugs.
She can hide stuff really, really well.
It was only like 2 weeks before I was introduced to heroin and crack cocaine. I started using recreationally, and obviously like you can't do that with heroin before you become addicted to it.
Are we talking about heroin? Are we doing that?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, then I'll just tell you the real. I'll just give you the real.
There were so many red flags. I mean, we had done a game night. She disappears from game night. Everyone's kind of looking to me like, Syra, where is she? And so I go upstairs and I find her in the bathroom and she's got, you know, tinfoil and she's smoking something. And so I walk over to her and I grab it and I'm like, what the f- are you up to, bro? Like, this is not it. And she didn't even notice I was there, you know? And I was horrified and devastated. So I stayed there and just made sure she didn't, like, you know, kill herself. And the next day I just told her, I said, you need to go get help. I can't do this anymore.
It wasn't until I went on a trip to Bali a few weeks later that I realized I had become physically dependent on it. And it was on that trip that I actually wrote Sober.
I got no excuses for all of these goodbyes. It wasn't my intention. I'm sorry to myself.
Oh my God.
I went away, I went on tour to Europe. I stayed clean, kind of, like wasn't doing drugs, but was drinking a lot.
Go. Everybody's got their lines. I see it every day.
More, oh God.
When I came back to LA after tour, I picked up where I had left off, and I was very heavily using.
Sorry that I'm here again.
I forgot the words.
There's only a certain window as a parent that you have to guide your kids. And you can give them advice when they're older. You can certainly advise them when they ask you, but a lot of it you don't see because they don't live in the same house as you.
I went out to a friend's party, and none of my friends knew what I was using. So I kept it very hidden from everyone. That is one thing that I was very good at, was hiding the fact that I was addicted to crack and heroin.
Demi is very, good at hiding what she needs to hide.
Demi's good at making you believe that she's okay.
Oh, hey, be careful. Okay, on tour. I don't know why, but like I've just like felt like I needed to tell you that ever since I was at your house. Like, okay. Just be careful.
I'm always careful.
Take care of yourself.
When you deprive someone of something, they definitely find ways to get what they want.
I had told some friends, hey, I've been sober since I was 19. Like, I want to try this drinking, smoking thing. Like, I just want to see if I can handle it. And I've been stir crazy, and I, you know, want to see if I can do it. So to them, I wasn't doing these hard drugs. To them, I was just normal again. I met up with some friends. We went to several different bars. We came back to my house. And around 5:30 in the morning, I said I was going to bed. But the reality was that I had called one of my dealers over.
Paramedic officer 65, what's the address of the emergency?
We just need to get somebody out here.
Hey, do you know what happened to her, okay? I'm gonna be there shortly, stay with the patient. I'm gonna remain on the line with you all the way until the paramedics arrive, okay?
Okay, we just need someone to flag them down, right?
Yeah, please.